Fourth and final hour, Darren Donick and Chase on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Titans and Bills tonight at Nissan Stadium, Monday Night Football. Hopefully it is going to be a good one. We bring in 3D legend, 3D Hall of Famer, former Titans and Ravens wide receiver, Derek Mason, affectionately known as D-Mace. Derek, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, I didn't get my jacket yet, man. Are y'all sending it FedEx or
definitely not FedEx?
What are y'all doing?
Well,
have you been sized up?
Yeah, have you been fitted?
I haven't been fitted yet, so maybe that's the holdup because no
okay.
one's called me for a fitting.
We guessed on a medium, but you know we figured that would work.
Yeah, we need to get together with you know exactly what you're looking for—the ripped effect, or if you actually want it to fit you. The way you'd wear a sport coat. So I don't know. We'll get with you. Our people will get with your people.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it, fellas.
Yeah. What's DJ's number again?
We'll get the barber to get the measurements. listen to this stat. Before we get on this, Derek, listen to this. The Lions have yet to play an offensive snap this season with the lead.
Well,
that tells you what kind of season they've had.
Hey, what kind of you know franchise they've had? I mean, this is not something that has started this year. This franchise hasn't been. They probably in the last. I'm what 47 years old. They probably, and I'm just guesstimating here, in 47 years had maybe 10 winning seasons.
I mean,
15 maybe.
I think you're right on. I think
15.
I think 10's about right.
I wouldn't go much further than 15 for sure.
I'm gonna count them up.
Seems a little bit excessive.
10 sounds excessive.
10 sounds maybe a little high. We're gonna look this up.
They didn't have many when I was growing up, and you know they had what three or four, maybe two or three playoff appearances when I was growing up. So. And they hadn't had many since I left and came to Nashville.
But to know that your offense has never run out on the field this season with a lead is just mind-blowing.
That's demoralizing. That's demoralizing for the franchise, for the fans, for the mascot, for, I mean, sponsors, everybody.
Oh. Well, you know, something we were talking about. You watched the college game, obviously. You have to be proud of your Spartans off to a great start this season. But
hey, Mel Tucker's doing a great job.
Yep, for now, and then he'll be taking a new job in the off season.
He ain't going nowhere. Hush.
Enjoy LSU.
I have the answer on the
Tigers. Does he know how to say go 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 Tigers?
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Does he know how to say that? I'm just
saying. Nobody says it like Coach O, man. So.
No. But if you start reading the stories that are going on in Baton Rouge, Coach O has been up to a lot of crazy stuff here lately. Man, it just keeps getting crazy. Have you guys been paying attention to what's being reported down there? I mean, I know he's not coming back, but, like, stuff that was happening at practices and other stuff. I mean, anyway, we're getting off on a tangent. But the players and the injuries. Mm-hmm. You played on the offense. You I'm sure you like what do you make of, you know, whether it's legit or not? Like people are because they're saying it's just it keeps happening at a more rapid pace. It's coming in bulk. There's just too much. I mean, you look at the numbers, I guess Ole Miss had 17 injury timeouts in the second half alone Saturday night. What do you make of it?
I think because the offense, because the rules have been geared toward the offense, whether it be college football or the NFL, you know, coaches employ this tactic. I mean, you might be mad at Ole Miss, but Alabama does it, maybe not at that clip because they're never behind. Georgia does it, maybe not at that clip. But you see teams across the, you know, across college football and even in the pros. When that up-tempo offense gets to going and you're on play, you know, 9 or 10 and you can't stop an offense, somebody goes down. Now, whether it's a legitimate injury or a guy's just tired, somebody goes down. And I'm pretty sure these are things that coaches are teaching their players to do. I think eventually the NCAA and NFL is going to have to come up with some penalty after the third or fourth one. If you see maybe the guy has to sit out the whole series or two or three plays if he is indeed injured, because you're seeing guys go down, then they run off, then they run back on. Not to say that they're not – there's a difference between hurt and injured. You could be hurt and still play. You could be injured and you have to come off the field and you should be on the sideline for a minute. You can't, you know, have everybody rush out to you and everybody thinks this is big injury. Then you pop up and run off the field and then run back on. Now you've stopped the game, which, I mean, coaches are taught, teaching players that. Stop the game, give your defense time to rest, and then you get to regroup. So I think eventually the NCAA and the NFL would do something about it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. When you see Stephon Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders, that 1-2 tandem for Josh Allen, what do you see?
I mean, you got arguably one of the best tandem of receivers in the National Football League. If you look at Stephon Diggs, he's a top, you know, three receiver in a game right now. And Josh Allen is looking for him. Emmanuel Sanders, he's been doing it for a very long time, and it seems like every team he goes to, he's producing. He's productive. So you got a veteran in Sanders that you can count on, and then a guy in Stephon Diggs that is just your ultimate playmaker. And, you know, you look at Josh Allen, I was thinking about it this morning. He reminds me, he's sort of a Ben Roethlisberger, Steve McNair, and John Elway all rode in one. The guy has a cannon for an arm. He's smart. He's mobile. And not only mobile, he's tough to bring down. He's like Big Ben. He's tough to bring down when you have him in a pocket or in an open field. So, and you know, so it's going to be hard moving forward with those two receivers, the running back catching balls out the backfield, and then Josh Allen as your quarterback. It's very hard to stop that offense when they want to throw the football.
We're talking to Derek May. He said, Derek, we have the answer of the Lions. You said you're 47. They have had 12 winning seasons since
you
were born.
You were all over it.
You were very close.
Oh, man.
And they have made the playoffs 9 times in the 47.
That is not good for a franchise.
That's tough.
That is not. That's like you should just retire your franchise and start over.
And the guy that did surprisingly well is Wayne Fonts. He's mm-hmm. He used to get absolutely barbecued, but he – relative to everybody else, he had all kinds of success compared to a lot of these other coaches.
Yeah, he did. I mean, a lot of his years were with Barry Sanders, you know, but Wayne did a good job with that team. They had Herman Moore, they had Brett Perryman, Johnny Morton, guys like that. The offensive line was good. Their defense was always questionable, but their offense was always high-powered, so I'm not surprised that Wayne Fonts had some success during those years.
All right, here's what I want to know from you. D. Mace, you've got Christian Fulton out tonight for the Titans. So we think it's going to be some blend of a Breon Borders. Maybe we see Caleb Farley. But either one, you feel like that's where the Bills are going to take a look at. How do we try to exploit that? Take me inside the game planning. You know, you're a wide receiver. You're in with the offense. How do you go about trying to exploit a weak guy, you know, or the fact that one of their best guys is out? At a defensive back position?
Well, what you do is you get in certain formations. You make that defensive back think before anything even happens. You know, formations, motions, you know, whether it be trips, twins, motion to twins, just try to confuse them a little bit, and then you go at it. He's going to have whoever's covering Stephon Diggs is going to have their hands full. I'm pretty sure they're going to either – you know, high, low, and play them underneath and over the top. But then you have to worry about Emmanuel Sanders. So the Titans are at a disadvantage right now. They don't get many interceptions as it is. I think they have, what, 3 for the season, somewhere around there. And then you lose your best corner to injury that is not going to be playing. Even though the Bills don't have a bunch of yards passing, they are efficient, and they have 2 of the game's best players and 1 guy that's the top 3 receiver, Stephon Diggs. So your hands are going to be full, no matter who it is. This is going to have to be a sort of team effort to stop the Buffalo Bills' passing offense.
One thing that got tossed out, Teron threw this out there, is what if you took Jackrabbit Jenkins or whoever you think your best guy is and you had him follow Stephon Diggs around?
It's not going to work.
Yeah, tell me about it. So what problems does that create if you try it that way?
I mean, does it create problems? There could be problems that are created because what you're doing now is are you asking him to play man-to-man across the board no matter where you go? Well, that's a lot for a guy that is still learning the Titans defense. You know, this is a guy that hasn't been here, you know, 5, 6, 7 seasons. This is a guy that's still learning the defense with. So for you to tell him, hey, listen, you're going to follow Stephon everywhere he goes and you're going to play man everywhere he goes. That's a tough ask for a guy that hasn't done it all year. Matter of fact, he hasn't done it in his career where he shadows one guy all game. And to have him shadow Stephon Diggs, I mean, you should have started that last week or the week before when you were playing against a guy that isn't as good as Stephon.
We are talking to the great Derek Mason, a 3D Hall of Famer, the only 3D Hall of Famer. Here on this radio station. So I want to get your thoughts on A.J. Brown. He's questionable with an illness. I think he's going to go, in my opinion. But he revealed last week that he's on a pitch count, a snap count. As a receiver, and a competitive one at that, as you were, and you know that A.J. is, how difficult is it to play through that of knowing that you're going to be limited? You know, it could be like you're in on this play, but you're going to be out on the next play, and just getting into that rhythm. How hard is that?
It's very difficult. You know, as a receiver, you don't want to be on a pitch count. You know, and it sounds so funny to say, because as a receiver, you get rhythm. The more and more you're out there, whether it be if we're running a football or passing a football, you're getting rhythm. You're out there. You're getting the feel for the game. But if I'm steady, you know, putting you in and then taking you out for two plays and then putting you in, well, you can't get a rhythm for how the game is going. The quarterback can't get a rhythm for how you're playing on that particular day. So this whole pitch count or play count that he's on, it's legitimate, but that's hard to play through. I mean, but this has been a deal with the Titans receiving core for the last two seasons where, you know, very seldom do you get both receivers playing at the same time. And it seemed like this year it's the same thing. AJ's playing one game. Julio's not playing one game. Julio's playing a game. AJ's not playing. Then they're both not playing. So it's hard to get in the rhythm as a passing offense when your top two guys are not consistently playing, you know, a football game. You got to understand this. If I told you, you know, 340 yards, 20-something catches. You would think that was one person, right? No, that's two people. Their top two receivers only had a combined 300-something yards receiving. You can't have that. You know, McNichols can't be your leading receiver when you paid all this money for these two top two guys in A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. But because of injury and because the passing offense isn't flowing the way it's used to flowing, then you have your top two guys aren't your top two guys. So they got to find a way to get these guys back on the field and get going.
And then another part of that, and you and I have talked about this via text a little bit, with this offense not going, you know, the way that everybody wants it to, you know, you look at it and you think, okay, you got Henry in the backfield, you got these top top flight receivers, you have Tannehill that is solid. But they've missed a key piece this year at the tight end position in Jonnu Smith. And, you know, Firkser has been hurt and it's just not the same. They've used Jeff Swaim. I feel like they've really hurt not having that position figured out, and therefore it affects the entire offense.
Well, if you look at the way the NFL has gone, the tight end has become more of a pivotal part of offenses because what happens is you can get that mismatch with the tight end because he's on a linebacker that may not be as fast, and then he's on a safety who is not as big. So that tight end position, especially in the Titans offense, is key. And I know a lot of people say, well, Jonnu isn't doing anything in New England. I understand that, but he was doing something with the Tennessee Titans because he knew the offense. He still is getting a grasp of that New England offense, and I'm pretty sure once he gets it fully, he'll be a much better player. But when he was here at Tennessee, he caused a mismatch problem with everybody across the board, even defensive backs. So not to have to not have that guy at that position is critical. You could say what you want about Janu, but when he was a Titan, it was people game plan to try to take him out the game because he was a big part of what the Tennessee Titans were doing, stretching the field from the tight end position, breaking, you know, tackles, blocking. They don't have that. They don't have a guy at the tight end position that can stretch the field. And you see, and losing Janu was a byproduct of that. When you don't have a guy that can stretch the field, your offense struggle, and their offense from a passing situation has struggled.
Do you feel that Todd Downing and Ryan Tannehill are getting a little bit more on the same page?
I think they are. Run Derrick Henry. That's the page they all need to be on. And it's unfortunate because over the last two seasons, not counting this season, but over the last two seasons, Derrick Henry has rushed the ball almost 700 times. Derrick's great. But eventually, you're going to have to start doing more on the outside and more from the tight end position because now that you've added another game to the season and the playoffs, you don't want Derrick Henry, because I think the Titans will make the playoffs. I think everybody believes that. You don't want Derrick Henry to be run down at the end of the season headed into the playoffs. So this offense has to find a way to incorporate Julio, AJ, and that tight end so they can take some of the pressure off of Derrick Henry. Because right now, man, if he runs the ball over 300 times this year, I mean, you might not see him, you might not be seeing much of Derrick Henry after that, because that's 900 times in three seasons.
Over 300 times? Derrick, yeah. he'll have that by Thanksgiving.
I know he will, and that's the bad problem, man. It's a good problem because Derrick Henry is the best running back. He's probably – not probably, he is a top five offensive player. So you have a top five offensive player and the best running back in the National Football League. Yes, you want to give him the ball, but y'all got to start making plays outside. Julio and AJ, they have to stay healthy in order for this offense. We all prayed and wished to get it, Julio Jones. We got him. We all were happy. But they're not producing the way that the Titans thought they would, nor the fans.
Well, we made a huge mistake. We should have had your 3D Hall of Fame jacket ready so you could wear it tonight on Fox 17 to react to the Monday Night Football game.
I would have looked good, too. I would have been that blazer.
It would have looked good, wouldn't it?
The 3D logo.
Man.
Damn it. We messed up. We messed up. But we'll get on it.
I mean, y'all can't expedite this thing. Yeah.
I tell you what.
Come on, let's put a hurry up on that.
I'll swing by tonight and I'll bring it to you. I'll have Ricky deliver it.
Thank you.
We will literally have Amazon running to you as the cameras. You see the little red light? We'll make sure the driver gets to you right before that. If we don't get it to you tonight, we'll enjoy your green blazer that you're wearing now, because I'm sure you'll wear a green one.
No, I'm not going to wear green. I'm going to wear Titan colors, blue.
Okay.
There you go.
You know, so, but I'm not going to wear green. I should wear green because of the Spartans, but I'm not.
Okay. So. All right. Well, we'll be watching tonight. Thank you for the visit, and we'll get that jacket to you ASAP.
Hey, man. Thank you. I appreciate it, fellas. Hey, and thanks for having Andre on last week. Andre Reed, the Hall of Famer. Thanks for having him on last week. It was great.
Great dude. It was
awesome.
A lot of fun on Friday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So,
all right, Derek.
You're welcome, back.
All right.
We'll see you. A good one. Yep.
There he is, 3D Hall of Famer. Doesn't get any better, even though he doesn't have the official jacket.
We need to make that happen. Now I just want to see it.
I just need to see the logo. You mentioned the logo. I need to see what it looks like.
The 3D logo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll have to go back through the archives and find it. But there
that's
is
what
one.
I know. I want to see it.
Yeah. There is one.
Oh, I know. You know what else there is?
Tell us.
NFL Zingers.
Oh, yes.
That's on the other side. We'll bring Elijah in. He's going to hit us with some NFL questions we'll answer. But right now I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD, where I'm headed after the show. Yeah, I'm going to go out there, see Michelle and their experienced staff, because they've been helping me for years become healthier and happier. They've improved my quality of life, and I really appreciate that. And I know they've helped a lot of you here in the area. And whether it's weight loss management, which, you know, we've all tackled at some point in our adult life, Well, they've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track. They believe they take that very serious there, as should you. And they can get you headed right back in the correct direction and shed some unwanted pounds. Rejuvenation, your appearance, is important, and it gets tougher as we age. Their experienced staff can sit down with you and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox. They do it all. And finally, hormone therapy. Get your levels checked if you've been feeling off lately. Your levels tend to dip as we age. I don't know how many people know that, but sometimes they can dip to an all-time low, which could affect you, you know, could affect your drive, your energy, your mood. Something where you've been going, man, I just feel a little bit off. Well, that could be what's at the core of your issue. They can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof out there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.